Hey, Heath Mullican from the Double Dropkick Show here at the Mid-Atlantic Legends Wrestling Fan Fest in Charlotte. Also to be joined right now by Bruce Mitchell from the PW Torch, longtime wrestling fan. Bruce, what got you into wrestling in the first place?
Well, I was in high school in Durham, North Carolina, and I, you know, in this area, you knew about wrestling. When I was a kid, I knew Rip Hawk and Sweet Hansen, Argentina Apollo, Johnny Weaver, and Paul Jones, but wrestling wasn't in the forefront of what I was looking at. I was an ACC basketball fan. I was a Duke basketball fan. And so, but you knew, and then a friend of mine told me, you know, wrestling's getting hot. You need to check out this blonde-haired guy. That blonde-haired guy turned out to be Ric Flair. And I went from, like, kind of a little bit of a casual fan, didn't pay that much attention to, like, I had to see all of it all the time. And I was a little older than some people. I was probably 18 or 19 when I really got into it. So I was just fascinated by it. I thought, and the Mid-Atlantic at that time, and we're here at the Mid-Atlantic Fan Fest, was Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, as they started their historic, legendary feud. Two sides of the same coin. Blackjack Mulligan, who was like John Wayne here, you know, the wrestler for and who talked that great talk. I mean, he was and the wrestler for all the people in the area that on their pickup trucks with their gun rack in the back. I mean, he was perfect for that. And I loved Jimmy Snuka and Ray Stevens. And I was a big, big fan of the Masked Superstar. It's just like, but the promos is what really got me first. They would do, there were two different syndicated shows, TV studio shows, and they would, worldwide and Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling with Bob Caudle and Rich Landrum and Johnny Weaver and David Crockett, and they would, and 15 minutes in, they would tell you who was going to be in Dorton Arena, or they tell you who's going to be in the Greensboro Coliseum, and the bad guys would do their promo. Roddy Piper would do his promo, and then 45 minutes later, Roddy Piper was, for example, you know, the great heel out of nowhere that was just so cool, and then 45 minutes later, the good guys would do the same promo. You know, the Greensboro Coliseum on Saturday night, November the 7th, it's Ric Flair versus Roddy Piper for the U.S. title. And then Flair would answer him. And it was like a back and forth, and it was just, I was just fascinated by that. I thought that was tremendous. I have to say Ole Anderson, too. I mean, he was so great. And for the first, I went to college at UNC Greensboro, in Greensboro, and so close to stuff, got to go to a couple of shows, but knew nobody. Didn't have any friends that were fans, nobody to go to the shows with. I would go to the Jackson Library at UNCG and go back into the newspaper carrels back then, you know, the newspapers hanging, and I would find the Charlotte results and the Greensboro results and the Asheville results and wherever I could do that. I found out that Ric Flair won the NWA title because I'll never forget this, on a Sunday night, I'm looking for, instead of studying, I mean, grades, you know, like, it definitely affected my grades. Instead of studying, I'm looking at the actual paper, and I knew that they ran on Sunday night, and they had a show, and it said, there was like four lines in the actual paper, because they would put results in the sports section. The sports people hated having the wrestling results in it, for obvious reasons, but they would put it in there because people would call and ask for them. And so it said, Cowboy Round Bass took Ric Flair's place at the show Sunday night because Ric Flair beat Dusty Rhodes for the NWA title in Kansas City. And now you think about how news travels so fast, and, wow, you know, instantaneously. You know, this weekend, the sad news about Roddy Piper, all of a sudden, you just see everybody looking at their phone before the banquet started or talking. It was like just about immediately. But so, yeah, that was – yes, sir. I'm a wrestling fan.
So let me ask you this. So how did you go from just being a wrestling fan to writing about wrestling, talking about wrestling, being a wrestling journalist?
You know, it was all accidental in certain ways. I mean, part of it was later on. So I bought all the magazines, and I read stuff, and I'm a lifelong Sports Illustrated subscriber. So the Hulk Hogan issue of Sports Illustrated came out, and I always thought – I liked the magazines, but it was always like trying to get that little piece of information among all the BS, all the bullshit. I mean, it's like it's just what it was. And so I always thought there's got to be a newsletter for people inside this business, like the Kiplinger business. Like I was business at the time, you know, that stuff. And so I was like, there's got to be something. And so I read, you know, Dave Meltzer writes the Wrestling Observer in there, but I didn't do anything about it. I didn't know how to get it, but I was like, yeah, okay, that's there, and kind of filed that away. And then graduated, and I came back, and I'm a comic book guy, so a comic store, and I was visiting Greensboro, and I went to this store, and there was this guy sitting in the store, and I mean, I knew wrestling fans, but it's like I was kind of intimidated by it, but back then, true believers were everywhere, so it was... There's this guy in the comic store, and I'm kind of like, he's talking about wrestling. And he doesn't act like he's been hit in the head with a frying pan. And so I'm like kind of just working my way up, trying to butt into the conversation somehow subtly. And it was John Hitchcock, who owns Parts Unknown, sitting right here. And so we talked and became friends. And my one ambition in wrestling wasn't to write about it or to be in it or anything like that. My one ambition at the time, I never thought I'd get a chance to do, was I just wanted to sit up front, a front row seat at Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling or Jim Crocker Promotion Show, and I wanted to see what happened. Did they talk to each other? What did they do? You know, that kind of stuff. And so he's just talking, and he's like, yeah, my friends and I, we go front row to all the shows. I'm like, you do what? Because I would, like, go to shows and try to get a good seat.
Yeah, it's
like,
a book.
You know, you do what? And so he was... He was nice enough to invite me, and so that became.
He's my favorite.
That became, you know, I didn't even live in Greensboro at the time, and so I would drive down for all the shows and sit with Hitch and do that. And the other thing was I did figure out of. Which one was it? But anyway, one of the magazines. I never send stuff in the mail for anything, but I was like $5 for Wrestling Observer, and so I got a Wrestling Observer. And I thought I could write. I was a good writer, but I wasn't writing anything. And I started writing letters to the Observer, and they started getting. There was a time when there was no internet, so there was kind of a fan community of people that would write to the Observer and write these long letters. There's a letter section there, and so I got some good feedback from that. People, you know, you get recognized for doing that, and then Wade Keller in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as a teenager, had started Pro Wrestling Torch. And Meltzer was very supportive of that because he did such a good product. And he had a columnist named Bill Kunkel, the late Bill Kunkel, who was his top columnist. But the guy was a WWF. He was biased toward the WWF. He thought WWF wrestling was better than Ric Flair and the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette and Roddy – and not Roddy – Roddy Piper was there then. But you know, and Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson and Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. And it's like, you know, you're crazy. I mean, the better action was in WCW, and it was called that by that time, but, you know, Jim Crocker Promotions. So I went to Hitch can draw, and I thought, I want to write a parody of his style, because he did I Can Prove That WWF Was Better. And so he had some sort of gimmick where it was like he would assign from 1 to 10, like, for 6 charisma or 8 for charisma or 9 for working ability. And this was supposed to be scientific, and I was like, that's a bunch of bullshit. So we did it, sent it off to Wade, and we had to go to a printing place and type everything out, and John drew the cartoons and the guys and kind of made fun of him, and Wade printed it, and Kunkel was his best columnist, and Kunkel was mad. I mean, Kunkel was mad about it. And so so it was like, that was really good. Do you want to do some more columns? And so just started writing from there. And, you know, the stuff the things we've seen, you know, John wrote a book, Front Row Section D, just told all the stories of things that happened to us and things that we did at Front Row for the Greensboro Coliseum, and then his adventures in the indie scene, which I saw firsthand. And it's a funny, hilarious book. You know, it's a really good book, and it's hilarious. And so all those things, it was just one little thing after another. But I mean, you know, I got to go to Iowa to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame just a few weeks ago and sit with and sit with the daughter of Jim Landis and sit with the widow of Charlie Thez, the widow of Lou Thez. And, you know, you just, some of the things that happen are just, I'm amazed by it. Now, I've had, you know, I've written things that made people mad and all that kind of stuff, but it's a great, you know, there is no more colorful thing to write about. There's more, you know, the highs, the lows are low and the highs are high, and everybody is, you know, the characters that you write about. I'm really blessed and fortunate. I think I'm in a good place, you know, and I just want to keep doing it. And then we changed with, you know, you guys doing a podcast, all that. I got to do radio shows and then 900 lines and now podcast at pwtorch.com and pwtorchlivecast.com and meet and interview a ton of people. So it's been a great adventure. I'd really feel appreciative.
So it's my fault.
But if Hitch wasn't, if John Hitchcock wasn't sitting in that comic store and talking that stuff, I'd have been like, didn't have anybody go to wrestling.
You know what I remember about that? Is that we had gone to Raleigh and seen the Raleigh taping. And so we saw a title change. I think Nikita Koloff won the Mid-Atlantic or something. And so we're sitting in there, and I'm telling, and wrestling fans would come in and say, okay, what happened? You went to the thing. And there was Bruce behind the magazine rack, spinning the rack, and suddenly I'd hear somebody yell out. Well, how do you know that? Well, I went to the taping last night. And then he started showing up, like, every week. And then finally I said, look, knucklehead, you know, if you want to join this, come over and sit down, and we'll start talking about it.
Yeah.
But I think there was something interesting over the fact that it was a group of wrestling fans who just loved wrestling so much, but it were more analytical. It wasn't like, who won't who, you know, did he hit him in the head? I mean, we're sitting there talking about the booking and the angles and why did they do this or what's going on there? And then it just gravitated to a friendship. We've been friends now for, you know, way too long.
So where can people go? Where can people go, Bruce, to connect with you online, hear your podcast, read some of your work?
Go to pwtorch.com, free website. There's some of my work there, but also there's a pay site, pwtorch.com/govip. Right now, running a 90% off special. For $1, you get access for a month to the website, which features interviews with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Dixie Carter, Hulk Hogan in the news. We do over 70 hours between Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, 2 hours every weekend, and Wade Keller's Daily Audio, and just a ton of other stuff. But if you get it for that $1, you can spend a month reading newsletters for the last 27, 28 years, pretty much virtually everything I've written. And then you can also listen to a ton of long-form interviews with pretty much everybody in the wrestling business at one time or the other. And in the last 27 years, I mean, we covered objectively and analytically everything that happens. So if you have questions about something, you go back and find the issue and see, you know, real time what was going on at that point and do that stuff. So that's definitely a place to go look it's a business, and it's a grassroots business. So we appreciate everybody. There's also a PW Torch app. I'm probably gonna get in trouble trying to think of what I've left out, but there's for smartphones and for iPhones, and we're constantly evolving as the technology evolves.
Well, Bruce, thank you so much for your work and all that you do. Thanks for giving us some time today. This has been Heath Mulliken with the Double Dropkick Show live from the FanFest Legends reunion. Bruce, thanks a lot for being with us.
Appreciate the opportunity. Yeah.